Welcome to the Scariest Things Podcast, your gateway to the trends and tropes of the horror genre. Episode 21.
21. Now we're over. That's amazing. That's a massive hump.
The humpiest hump. Every single one of these that we successfully managed to get recorded is a triumph.
That's right.
I'm your host, Eric Lee. I am joined, of course, with my partner,
Mike Campbell.
And today,
21 episodes in.
21 in, and we're still
fresh as ever.
Yep.
Fresh as ever. No lack. There is literally no lack of things we could talk about horror.
Yeah. There. And
I mean, check back in episode 40, 41, we might. But right now, there is no lack of horror.
And of course, we're always willing to sequelize these things. So,
oh, yeah.
So there's no podcast dead enough that we can't kick to try and breathe some life into this Frankenstein. So
we can always drag out new stuff.
So today's episode,
yes.
I suggested to Mike, we've seen a lot of horror movies, but there are some movies that you would expect someone who is a horror aficionado to have watched, and we have to admit that sometimes we don't get around to seeing everything. Even some of the ones that are considered the greatest of all time, shamefully, I've got a few on the table that I haven't seen and
haven't or won't see.
Well, I have some of both.
Okay. I only did haven't seen.
Yeah, I think,
and I was specifically directed. I was specifically directed by Eric to not only do haven't seen, but I am ashamed to have not seen. Like, I actually have shame.
Yeah.
Like, remorse, regret, shame. I put my head down.
Bad Mike.
I skulk to work, and I think, man, what? I need to see that movie.
So I am going to be astounded, I am sure, by some of these films that really I would have expected Mr. Campbell to have seen. And
we see
these things together now. I am not counting some movies that that exceed my, well, actually I take that back. Some movies that exceed my horror threshold and are not supposedly good movies. Mike admitted to me that he saw Human Centipede.
I did.
I don't think I ever
I saw Human Centipede in prep for episode, was that 18 or 19?
19.
19. Horror gone too far. I decided to go too far.
He bit the bullet.
It went too far.
It's like there's a yuckiness factor and a quality of production standard that I have to hold myself to.
And silliness factor
Human Centipede. Human Centipede's got some silliness factor, but like Cannibal Holocaust is one of those ones where it's like it's never going to see it.
Cannibal Ferox. Make them die slowly.
Yeah.
Dr. Butcher, MD. All right.
So what I wanted to discuss was the movies that most horror fans love.
Yeah.
Just haven't gotten around to seeing for whatever reason. And
I went there's a website. I'll just give a shout out to one of our fellow horror news, horror information websites, Bloody Disgusting.
Which is no doubt, Bloody Disgusting, one of the kings of our genre.
They are one of the kings of the genre. They have a top 100 horror films of all time list. And I went through that list and I'd seen everything. So I felt like, all right, I'm doing okay. But that doesn't mean I've seen everything, because I absolutely have not.
Okay, so the funny thing is about all the movies that I'm going to list, I know a lot about them. I know their plots, and I've seen snippets from all of them.
Sure. Did you watch the trailers for all these?
I don't need to.
Yeah.
I mean,
I watched a lot of the trailers because I was like, oh yeah, that's right. It's the thing about the thing. I felt compelled to at least, like, well, if I can't invest an hour and 28 minutes, maybe I can invest an hour or a minute and 28 seconds.
Well, I intend to see these movies. I just haven't gotten around to doing it.
Right.
So, and I know that this is that what we're going to have to do at some point is that Mike and I are going to have to do a horror movie binge and catch up on the movies that we should have watched.
We will blow through these and then we will tell you of these. Which are the ones you should see?
Yeah, and did
we?
Did
we will do the work for you.
Was I avoiding this for a subconscious reason that deep down inside I know this was going to be a shitty movie, or is it one that I was deep down inside I was afraid of this movie? I don't think that's necessarily true with all these. With some of them, that I might have a latent fear of some of these movies. I'll admit. I mean, even a horror movie fan can get spooked.
Let me. This is true confessions here. I had the opportunity this past week. I was going through the list of movies I have not seen, and I was starting to noodle on that list, and I thought, well, maybe I'll watch one of these and I can tick it off the list. What did I do? I rewatched Bloody Valentine, the 2010.
That's not the way it works.
The 2010 remake. So, no, I mean, to your point, though, sometimes, yeah, sometimes it's a matter of, sometimes it's a matter of pure avoidance. Sometimes it's a matter of the fact that you got something better to do. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's, you know, you just, you need to curl up in that warm blanket and rewatch My Bloody Valentine again, because it is such a kick-ass film. And I thought, well, I could either like go into the unknown or curl up in that warm blanket.
You just want more pickaxe.
I just want more pickaxe.
More gas mask.
Yes.
Okay, so I guess, Mike, why don't you go ahead and lead with yours?
All right. At the top of my list, this may not be a fearsome foursome. This might be like a Sinister Six or a Sinister Seven.
I've got some of these things. I'm going to riff off of similar kind of things, but go ahead.
We'll go fast. We'll go fast with this. So the first one on my list is a film that came out in 2015. It is called A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Oh.
This is an Iranian film. It's the first Iranian vampire Western ever made. It has got this, it's got a little graphic novel to it. Mm-hmm. It's got a little horror. It's got a little spaghetti Western. It's got sort of like a, almost like a French foreign new wave. And when you watch the trailer, to me, it feels like a lot of the, art house films in the 80s, right? It's all shot in black and white. It's very artfully shot. It's really sparse. It's like you're almost like you're watching like a Jim Jarmusch movie.
Okay.
But it looks super cool. And it's got, if you Google A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night and look at the poster for the film, the poster is a beautiful, beautiful piece of graphic design. And I totally recommend, if nothing else, looking at the poster. But the trailer is really interesting. You know, it's a wonderful mishmash of different influences, and who knew that there was Iranian vampires?
Well,
Have you seen it?
I have not seen it.
I guess that's the other thing we should do for this episode is make sure the other person has not seen it.
Well, this may be one of our things that we just have to go to Movie Madness and go pick
that's
it up.
That's right. That's right.
I think an adjunct to that one is something that is on, I think, Our author colleague Robert has put up a dibs list of movies that we intend to see and review, and one of the ones that I had is Under the Shadow, another Iranian film, but that's about a family during the Iran-Iraq War, who find themselves not only in wartime but under the influence of an Ifrit.
Oh, interesting.
You know, the evil the evil demon of Arabian Nights lore.
Right.
And I think that, you know, that sounded fascinating. And it's one of those ones that I just wanted to pick up at some point. Now, I won't say that it's a fairly recent movie. It was done, I think, in 2016. Sort of like A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. Is that one?
A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, yeah. So we will be getting later in 2018, we will be doing an all Iranian horror podcast. And if you're listening in
Iran,
hello.
Hey.
Welcome. Welcome to the Scariest Things podcast.
I think we picked up a Kuwaiti
pretty close.
Fan. Yeah.
Right in the neighborhood.
Right next door.
All right, what do you have on your Sinister Six? What's number one? What is the film you are ashamed, mortified that you have not watched?
Dracula.
The original Dracula?
1932 Dracula.
Wow. You haven't watched Dracula? Oh my God.
I've never seen Dracula.
You talked on and on and on about that in that Oscar episode. You'd think you had seen it.
Well, no, I was talking about Boris Karloff. Frankenstein. Frankenstein.
Right,
okay. I love Bride of Frankenstein.
You have not seen Dracula.
I have not seen Dracula. It's hard to say. Iconic, right? And so, you know.
Spoiler alert, I've seen it.
Yeah, it's like, how could you miss that one? And as a hardened horror movie vet, sometimes just going back to some of those old silver screen movies that were scary for those people in the 1930s, and the whole vampire thing. I'm not a big vampires fan, right? So even a modern vampire movie isn't necessarily going to be the first on my have-to-watch list.
Yeah.
But, you know, Bela Lugosi, you know, Dracula's supposed to be both ominous and sexy and dangerous. You know, and the funny thing is, I don't know that Bela Lugosi qualifies for either of those. Right. But he's iconic, right?
Right,
I
mean, that's true.
And so you have to, you know, at the time he might, you know, I think back in the 1930s, someone like Bela Lugosi, who had a little bit of the Eastern European look, may have been like, oh, he's a foreigner. He's kind of exotic and weird. You know, and I think it's fortunate that actually African Americans never got demonized in the 1930s the way that some, you know, I think Eastern Europeans apparently were very scary. Apparently, Asians were scary. The Mask of the Fu Manchu was, and I think it was Boris Karloff in yellow face, which is
right.
A shame. but
probably,
yeah, I just
probably
I
probably wouldn't cut it today.
I know that the art direction for Dracula is something special. I think that those old black and white films really. The graphically they're very interesting, and that's one of the things that I love the most about Bride of Frankenstein. It's a gorgeous looking movie.
Yeah.
I will admit I have also not seen. I'm going to rattle off these other Golden Age classics, and we're going to do a binge on these.
We're doing Golden Age horror.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde have not seen.
What?
Have not seen.
Come
the
on.
Have not seen the Wolfman. I have not seen The Black Cat.
Oh, my God. Just stop right now.
Or the
stop it.
And The Picture of Dorian Gray.
Stop it.
I've got to see all of those.
Okay.
It hurts the soul.
I haven't seen The Picture of Dorian Gray. So I did pick up Dracula at the library, and my 7-year-old could not make it through Dracula. He could make it through Bride of Frankenstein, and we made it part of the way through The Wolfman.
Yeah.
So I'm doing my part. I'm teaching the babies.
Attaboy.
Teaching the babies.
All right. So that was my number four shameful admission.
That actually is a shameful admission. I think we have reached all this crap on my list. If I never see it, it doesn't matter. But that is shameful.
Yep.
All right. So on my number, however many, on my fearsome foursome, Sinister Six, is the 2007 film The Orphanage. This is the Spanish film, J.A. Boyana, who, with a little bit of coaching and a little bit of production help from Guillermo del Toro, put together this film. Apparently, according to many, there is a crazy plot twist to this film. Mm-hmm. There are some insane things that happen in this film. Many people say, you know, like this is one of those, like, the first time you ever watch it, you will be stunned, shocked, and amazed, and you'll never be able to recover from.
I've heard that it's a very intense movie. I won't say that this is that The Orphanage is usually comes to the top of my mind for horror classics. It's still fairly recent vintage.
Yeah,
it's one that I could say I haven't gotten around to it. I also don't know a whole lot about it. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I am quoting from. I'm not even sure where I'm quoting from, but I will quote from it because I thought it was a funny quote. It was a reviewer said that this is steeped in a deeply horrible and potent sense of loss. The Orphanage will leave you cursing whatever cinematic genius realized how terrifying kids could be.
Okay.
And so. I have a feeling, you know, I did watch the trailer.
Scary Kids, we didn't catch this in the Scary Kids? Well, because we haven't seen it.
I know. Okay. And I was thinking, had I seen this damn film, it would have been on the Scariest Thing, the Scariest Kids episode, which is like episode 9 or 10, which you should totally listen to. So yeah, The Orphanage, the trailer to me, again, I mean, I'm operating a lot of this. I mean, my research was, you know, looking at films like over the last several decades that I hadn't seen, going through lists of horror films that people had put together, Bloody Disgusting amongst others, and then going and looking at the trailer and going, geez, why the hell didn't I see this?
So this is, I think so your first two so far have been the slightly more off the beaten track, not sort of the mainstream,
right?
Like, renowned classics.
Sure.
So far, you haven't brought up a classic yet.
Oh, I don't think we're not going to get to any classics. Oh,
okay, all of mine. You're just going to go, what the? Come on, man.
I'm just regretful. You're shameful. I'm
shameful. So you want to hear the next thing that it's like?
Yes.
You will not believe that I have not yet seen.
Eric has not seen Jaws.
1963 movie.
Even though he's been talking about it now for four months.
That would be me being a total poser.
Sham. All right.
I have not seen The Birds.
What? Oh, well, that's even kind of shameful because we did talk about it. We talked about Tippi Hedren.
But I did not put Tippi Hedren on my list.
But you didn't disclose that you hadn't seen The Birds.
No, I didn't.
We talked about it. Oh.
Because this is one of those ones where you know about it,
yeah,
right? And
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
And it's Hitchcock. And yeah. I love, you know.
Oh, we're watching The Birds, man. The Birds is freaky.
Rear Window, Vertigo, North by Northwest, Psycho.
Yeah,
seen them. Some of my, yeah. some really love those movies. Mm-hmm. You know, no spoiler alert, you know, Hitchcock is a master of twists and turns.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought, you know, for some reason, the idea of The Birds never really freaked me out. So it never really got me going, yeah, that's something I want to see because it spooks me. It just sounds like, how scary could it be?
Oh, it's scary.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, and it's scary, but, you know, I think one of the really off-putting things, it's shot in Bodega Bay in California, mm-hmm. in such a beautiful part of the country. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the most beautiful parts of the world, frankly. Mm-hmm. And it's... So you have that great rolling landscape juxtaposed mm-hmm. with,
mm-hmm.
well, horror, terror, and this wonderful allegoric backdrop to, you know, the Red Scare.
Yeah, well, and again, not having seen the movie, the still images of the people walking through town and the trees are all covered in birds.
Right.
Right. And it's like, they're going to get you at some point. Now, mm-hmm. I have a friend of mine, Sam, who mm-hmm. is an ornithophobe.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Sam, sorry if you're listening to this, but you know, that's weird to be afraid of birds like that.
That means she's scared of Snickers bars? No.
Ornithophobe, fear of birds.
Yeah.
So, and again, it's not, part of it is just like I've never gotten around to it. It's never been on my priority list. But I am buying you a copy
of The Birds.
Okay,
that's
So The Birds.
Shame. A DVD is going to arrive this week in the mail.
Okay, so full disclosure. Yeah, hadn't seen it. Similar to that. Okay, so there are some other movies of that era.
Yes.
That I have not seen. Like, I rolled off those other Golden Age ones.
Sure, sure, yeah.
So the Silver Age, 1950s, 1960s horror stuff.
Yeah.
I have not seen The Raven.
I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen The Abominable Dr. Fibes.
I have seen that.
And I have not seen Wait Until Dark.
Not sure.
Okay, it is a Audrey Hepburn, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I have seen that. Yeah, yeah.
She plays. She's blind.
Yep,
and she gets.
Yep, I have seen that. Yeah.
And that's
who's it? Like Alan Arkin, or that's somebody else's, like, yeah, one of their first roles,
right? And
maybe not Alan Arkin. I don't know.
But someone like that. But it's one of those ones where, actually, truth be told, I wasn't aware of it
mm-hmm.
until I stumbled across it, and it was a. That Hepburn got a Best Actress nomination for it, and it's like a horror film. It's like, why didn't I know about that one?
Yeah.
So that one's a little bit different.
Yeah.
I knew about The Birds, and I just not gotten around to it.
I think that one might be more of a thriller.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
So, but there's a stalker who's
right.
trying to kill her in her apartment, and she's
yeah.
blind.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Also in the realm of shameful admission, I haven't seen Let the Right One In.
Oh, well. Yeah.
And it kind of sticking with the whole vampire thing, because
okay.
I think what I'm hearing tonight is we haven't seen a lot of vampire movies. We haven't seen A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. We haven't seen Let the Right One In. We haven't
yeah.
seen Dracula.
Yeah.
Let the Right One In, of course, is the Swedish film that everyone went gaga for. A little boy, Oscar, is befriended by. He's a sad, sullen, lonely, bullied young man who has some troubling childish behavior, and he is befriended by a young girl, Ellie, who turns out to be a vampire.
Yeah.
Vampire.
A vampire. And
a Scandinavian vampire.
A Swedish vampire. And yeah, it looks super cool. I did watch, of course, the trailer. Mm-hmm. It looks really, really interesting. Apparently, the interesting thing is that from what I've heard is that, and this sounds like, I think it sounds like a pretty cool plot device, mm-hmm. The film doesn't really focus on the vampire. It focuses on Oscar, the young boy. Yeah. It's more about him, less about the mm-hmm. vampire piece mm-hmm. of it. That's just sort of not a subplot per se, but it's sort of an added component of the complexity of his sort of sullen, lonely mm-hmm. behavior.
And, you know,
now have you seen it?
Well, and guilty as charged.
Guilty part two. Yeah. I love it.
But this is
good.
And so it's a kind of.
I feel like I got so much weight lifted off my shoulders tonight.
Well, I remember back when we did the podcast about kids in horror movies, and right. Roberta,
she talked about Let
the Right One In, and she's not a horror junkie like we are,
a little bit more middle of the road,
and this one plays to it had a fairly wide release. It's not some sort of an esoteric movie,
right?
And I was like, yeah, it's a good movie, so I've heard. Yeah. So. That's on the Eric and Mike watch list.
It is. All right, so what do you got next on your list?
All right. 1976.
All right, what do you got?
I have to take it on good faith that this is a classic.
Oh, no.
It has the pedigree.
You're getting too close to my in my pocket, my wheelhouse.
Yeah, this is a Brian De Palma movie.
Oh.
Sisters?
No.
Carrie.
Oh, what? Oh, that's it. Okay, all future podcasts, you'll just be hearing my voice because Eric is officially cut. He's cut. He's cut from the podcast.
So, you know, here's the thing. I didn't think it sounded particularly scary.
I am spending a lot of money on DVDs for you this week.
So, you know, again, the fact is, you know, I know about the prom sequence. I know the mm-hmm. bucket of blood. I know that mm-hmm. she reaches her hand out of the grave. I know that
it's got John Travolta, for God's sakes.
It's got and the greatest American hero.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. God, what's his name?
Believe it or not.
Yeah, believe it or not.
He's walking on air.
And believe it or not, Eric has not seen Carrie. And I'm sure that you people now are probably laughing at me and calling me a fraud, but yeah, that's a admission. Psychokinetic stuff.
That's a deep cut.
Here's another.
That's a deep cut. Dude, I'm telling you. In fact, didn't I talk? I think I talked about it in one of the first episodes we did. Like two of the scariest scenes in cinematic history are in Carrie. There's some dark, deep, weird stuff going on.
At this point, all I can do is I can take your word for it.
Yes. Take my word.
So, believe it or not, there are some adjuncts that are like this that I have missed.
Okay.
Okay? And you're going to similarly freak out when I tell you I have not seen Scanners.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I have not seen...
I get that one.
I haven't seen Rabid.
Oh, wow. You haven't seen... Okay, okay.
And I haven't seen The Fog.
Wow, interesting. So these are homework to do, and
I'll tell you what, some of this is because the movies of that era mm-hmm. that I like to watch were creature features.
Right.
I love zombie movies.
Right.
I love space aliens.
You were sort of easing in at that point.
In my teens, and then by the time I got past it, it's like not something that I wasn't backing up to.
Right.
Where I think what's the difference right now for you and me is that I've seen a lot of fairly recent stuff, and
that's where my list is largely focused.
I can pepper you with all these great recent movies, and you haven't caught up to them yet.
Right.
But for me, it's the stuff, and partly also it's because I didn't have cable as a kid.
Yeah,
and so then I'd have to go. You had to go
to the video store, man. Yeah, so hustle. You had to work for it.
Yeah, guilty admissions. Whoops,
Carrie
got past me. Okay.
So the next film I haven't seen, and I'm sort of ashamed that I haven't seen this, because we actually talked about it in the context of hillbilly horror, which isn't necessarily my forte, but This has, I know, become, you know, quite the franchise. This, of course, is the 2003 film Wrong Turn.
Yeah.
And now I think there's, and I'm not joking, and I was not joking previously in the Hillbilly Horror episode, but I think we're up to 7 Wrong Turn films.
You haven't seen Hatchet yet either, have you?
I haven't seen Hatchet either.
Okay, I trump you on that one. Yes. You got to go see Hatchet.
Yes. Well, Hatchet is no Carrie, but.
Yeah.
The thing that drew me to, I mean, almost exclusively, again, great trailer, but the thing that drew me to Wrong Turn is that, you know, it involves 3 disfigured cannibalistic mountain men who go by the names of Three Finger, Sawtooth, and One Eye. And I thought, okay, well, that in and of itself is, that's, you can't pass that.
So now,
that's just pure greatness.
For me, now, I haven't seen Wrong Turn either, but Wrong Turn pushes my horror meter. That's on the edge of my horror meter.
It's cannibalism.
It's cannibalism, not my. Which
I think it's. I think it's. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I'm sure it's. I'm sure it's somewhat an homage to Texas Chainsaw, just set in, you know, West Virginia or probably a little darker, probably a little bit more, a little bit more gore, a little bit more tension, a little bit more torture. But ultimately, it's a Texas Chainsaw.
It spells it out. Wrong turn. You took the wrong road, and you're out in the country, and you get attacked by savages.
Yeah.
I actually saw a in the Overlook Film Festival, which I returned to week ago, saw a film called The Farm.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Which you can read the review of
at scariestthings.com.
Scariestthings.com. Check out that review.
It's not great.
Yeah. See, now Eric spent his time watching The Farm when he should have been watching Carrie. But that's a whole different whole different story.
You aren't wrong. But but it is a there's a hillbilly, we've been driving too long, pull off on the side of the road, and then, you know, bad things happen.
Yeah.
I think, actually, that movie, I'd be interested to see if, when it comes out, if you give it a watch and you come to the same conclusion as me, I think that they had good protagonists. The antagonists were kind of, though they were horrible and despicable, they were not great villains, I didn't think, but maybe it was also in I went in there sort of dreading sort of cannibalism and the hillbilly horror. I actually was able to get through it, even though there's some of the most vile kinds of things that they showed on there. Anyways,
all right, what do you got next on your list?
All right, 2005 movie.
Okay.
Now
we're getting a little bit. This is a little bit more reasonable.
More reasonable, and this is a modern. I think a lot of people call it a modern classic. A lot of people say it's one of the scariest things. I've had every intent to see it. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah.
I haven't been avoiding it.
Yeah.
It's The Descent.
Oh yeah.
Now, have you seen The Descent?
I have seen The Descent. Okay. It's pretty solid. I've seen both Descents.
Yeah.
I do have one major complaint about The Descent, which I will not disclose because it's a major spoiler alert, but it's pretty solid.
At the same time, I also went online
I think it's more of a, people do bill it as a horror film. I would almost bill it as an action film with some kind of supernatural monstery kind of elements.
Right. So do you say that? Do you think that the protagonists have a fighting chance against these things?
Yeah, oh yeah, but it's kind of like in the same way that you draw that finite line between aliens and Alien, and Alien is the horror film, and Aliens is sort of the action film.
Right.
This is kind of, I think this sort of calibrates more to the action side of things.
Sure.
But it's good. Yeah. It's a good film.
And I think I had one of the things is I bought it on DVD. With every intent to watch it, and I lost it. I don't know what happened to it, but in a sofa cushion or something like that.
Right, right.
So that's one where, you know, I just haven't gotten around to it, and even though I know it's supposed to be great. So if you want my cops for my other contemporary horror films that I've missed.
That's not too bad.
Let the Right One In. Right, 30 Days of Night.
Oh yeah, yeah. Also good. And you didn't read the graphic novel either.
I've read the graphic novel. And
Okay. Well, you're halfway there.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I did is I rented it on Netflix, and when they used to send you DVDs on Netflix.
Right, right, right.
And then I had to ship it back because I just didn't have the time to watch it, and I just never got around to it again. I hear it's got some. It's pretty nice and bloody and
it is. No, it's also fun, a fun movie.
Right. Haven't seen Black Swan.
Oh, no, I haven't seen Black Swan either. And we've talked a lot about Black Swan.
Right. All right. Because a strong ties to Suspiria in that it's dealing with competition and ballet dance and
right
and possession and that kind of stuff. And I haven't seen Under the Skin, Scarlett Johansson as an alien who's seducing and attacking, sort of like a better version of Species.
Right.
It's got a lot of accolades and a lot of, but it's indie.
I watched a solid half of that. And I've never gone back and finished it. But so, I did. I can say I watched half of that.
All right. So that's the end of my list.
But oh, okay.
Plenty of shameful admissions.
There's a couple, yeah. I got two more.
Okay.
Well, three more. One of which I know you've seen, and I'll save that for last. Mm-hmm. And you can talk to us a little bit about it.
Mm-hmm.
The next one on my list is the 2008 film The Strangers.
Oh.
This of course, is a pretty simple premise. Uh-huh. It looks pretty simple. Yeah. It's essentially a home invasion
film. They just had a sequel.
There's a sequel. Yeah, a sequel just came out. It's essentially these mask-wearing crazies.
Home invasion
who terrorize this couple. They're constantly stalking. They're stalking around the house. The house looks to be somewhat secluded.
It looks like a trailer.
The thing that I like the sound of is the fact that from what I've heard, and I did dip a little bit into the plot, they don't really give you a good understanding as to why or what's going on, which in some ways can be kind of disturbing and kind of grisly, but in other ways I sort of like that. I like the fact that there's not a lot of heavy exposition. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that it's not super pedantic where they're spoon-feeding you every last element of the film. And sometimes that can be kind of cool. The next film I haven't seen, I'm not even sure what year this came out. This is Wolf Creek. This is, again, falling into the hillbilly horror. This is the Australian film. Very similar to Wrong Turn. Very similar to Texas Chainsaw in terms of its... in terms of its intensity, and in fact, the cinema score voters apparently it's only one of a handful of films where the cinema score voters gave it an outright F because of its horribleness, its nastiness, its totally sadistic behavior.
Yeah, I think that my understanding is that Wolf Creek, like if we're putting it on the scariest thing, scary meter,
yeah,
it's like a 22 or a somewhere around there. It's all a really, really 23.
And the guy, unlike Leatherface, unlike Jason, unlike a lot of the sort of the stalwarts of the horror genre, the guy in it is kind of this somewhat charismatic character, the killer, the Wolf Creek killer.
Who's
is.
the famous Ted Bundy?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, although this guy lives in the outback and everything, but he's a somewhat jovial, affable kind of character who lures in or helps out a group of sort of stranded motorists in the Australian outback. But what you would like about this, I think, is that the protagonists in the film are apparently quite likable. Mm-hmm. At least that's some of the reviews I read. The protagonists in this case are quite likable. They said, in fact, one of the reviews said that they are a trio of attractive and uncommonly likable 20-somethings in the outer reaches of the outback.
Oh, so and then the horrible things happen to them.
And I think there's several Wolf Creeks as well. And then the final one I haven't seen, which you've been talking about forever, is, of course, Don't Breathe. And I really, really want to see it.
Oh, dude.
I still haven't seen it.
Okay.
Again, doesn't match up with Carrie, but...
give it 10 years.
Yeah. That's the one out of this whole list.
That's your most shameful admission.
That's probably maybe that and The Orphanage, but those are the two that I feel like, boy, like as a horror fan, I really should have taken the plunge, not sat down and rewatched My Bloody Valentine.
It follows as it's streaming now. You can get it on Netflix.
I know. I'm gonna watch it.
It is a. Don't Breathe, you said. Not It Follows. You saw It Follows.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I saw It Follows. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's the same. Yeah. This is... When I'm laying down the golden age of horror movies right now...
Yeah.
It's It Follows. It's Don't Breathe. It's Get Out.
Yep.
It's now A Quiet Place. Have you seen A Quiet Place yet?
Yeah. No, I haven't seen A Quiet Place. That's okay. That's the new one with
Jim from John Krasinski.
Yes, no Pam, just Jim.
Great movie.
Yeah.
You know, so that's going to go in there. Hereditary is going to go in there. Babadook.
Yep.
So these are all of the same family. They're the Blumhouse A24 kind of family of things. Conjuring.
Yep.
And so it's going to go in the stable. It where Carrie belongs in the family of those great 70s horror movies.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't Breathe is going to go into the stable.
15, 20 years, they'll be on the list.
Two words for you for Don't Breathe, turkey baster.
Turkey baster.
It is so nasty. Okay.
All right, let's go crate digging.
Okay, so I just...
What'd you dig up this week?
So because I went to the Overlook Film Festival and I got exposed to a number of really fantastic short films, I have now taken it upon myself to become a big proponent and a champion of horror short films.
Yes. And there are
there's
an S ton of them on the scariestthings.com website.
And I think the tricky thing is there's also a metric shit ton of short horror films that aren't that great.
Yeah.
A lot of them involve, doors opening and closing and slamming and jump scares and stuff like that. I think that the trope that I'm getting a little weary of with the short films is the pan left, no monster there, pan right, no monster there, pan back, and there the monster is. It's like, oh no!
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, that's an easy trick.
Right.
And it gets a jump scare. All right, I got it.
That's horror 101.
But I think getting exposed to these great short horror films at Overlook, the imagination, if you get the right directors, they can come up with some fantastic nuggets where it's a single scene. It's not even an act. It's just it's a scene that plays out. And I think I found a really fun one, and we just posted this to scariestthings.com, and that's called One Please.
Uh-huh.
And it is it's a silent film in that there's no dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
But you hear this chop 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 of a mom cutting up vegetables for dinner.
Uh-huh.
And then outside there's a little girl and you hear okay, so you get Turkey in the Straw playing off kilter, probably at 2/3 speed, and you see this ice cream truck coming up and the little girl runs back to get, I wanna get ice cream. The ice cream man is the same guy, one of the cannibals from The Hills Have Eyes.
What?
The guy I'm talking about, he's got the bug eyes and the bald dude that guy, I forget his name right now, but he's the ice cream man.
Oh my god.
And he doesn't take cash. It's a 5-minute short. It is a lot of fun.
What was the name again?
One Please.
One Please. Okay. I'm gonna check that out. When you started down this path, I honestly thought you were gonna talk about death metal.
No. But death metal. I also posted death metal, which is a lot of fun. Chris McEnroy, who I actually got a chance to meet at the Overlook Film Festival, did another one called We Summoned a Demon, which is about two kind of loser bros trying to do a dark ritual involving, like, they cut open a chicken and the chicken issues out like 5 gallons of blood, right? they try and do this dark ritual to become cool because these are guys back in their 30s. They got no business trying to be cool anymore. But instead of doing that, they actually summon a demon. Hysterically funny,
it is.
Really gross. Same thing with death metal. A lot of fun, very light. But this one, what I'm going to make a little quick pitch for a company called Crypt TV, where One Please is showing. It's an original. What it is? It's Eli Roth. Mm-hmm. You know Eli Roth.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And you know Jason Blum.
Yep.
They have they're doing a sort of a think tank for young short film directors, and it's Crypt TV. And what you get out of it is you get everybody just they get funded like $1 million to do a short film.
Cool.
And this is what this was from, and it's like it is a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
And so Also, you know, check back. We're going to be mining that site for more short films, so stay tuned.
Cool, cool. Well, keeping in the, I'm ashamed I haven't seen the film, and the grave digging theme. This is a film. Eric has been, I mean, I didn't go grave digging. Eric dug the body up for me and threw it on my front porch and said, look at the body, look at the body, look at the body. I am talking about the 2017 film, A Dark Song.
Oh, yeah.
Eric kept saying, have you seen Dark Song? Have you seen Dark Song? Have you seen Dark Song?
It's a slow burn occult
thing. And I finally went and saw it, and I really liked it. It's almost like there are some just straight up psychedelic scenes in that. Yeah. Where the thing that's great about it, it's a woman. She decides to hire this sort of strange, mystic, shaman-type character. Dark arts. Who's practiced in the black arts, black magic.
Or so he claims,
and he's going to help her contact a person from her past. I won't spoil that part of it, because that's kind of an integral piece of the film. And then through, over the course of, God, I don't know, like the better part of a year, he puts her through the absolute ringer, and you get the sense that she might be crazy. She might be dreaming this. She might be hallucinating. It might just be some sort of horrible repressed memory coming to life. You don't know. Ultimately, at the end of the day, you don't know what's up or down.
On top of that, he's putting her through these horrible paces of psychological and some physical torment,
right?
To try and do this ritual,
right?
And you're wondering if he's a charlatan or not,
right?
You know, yeah. And then sometimes you get clues and you go, okay, this is kind of working, but you kind of, it's like, should it work? You don't know that it's like, you know, there's a lot of the kinds of some of the tropes of putting like salt around the house and that kind of stuff. But it gets really trippy. It is a slow. It's the slowest of the slow burns. So if you if your kind of horror is Nightmare on Elm Street, this ain't your kind of a thing. But if you like Babadook, for example,
it's a good film.
Dark Song is really it's. I think it's beautiful.
I recommend it. Yeah. I recommend it. All right. Well, okay. That's it for the week.
So with that. I'm going to leave you with a tagline from a fun little film. Couldn't resist. Saw the poster. Today the pond, tomorrow the world. From Frogs. Ribbit, ribbit.